This is Peter Rosenberger, and one of the reasons I wrote my new book, A Minute for Caregivers, is because I remember the sinking, despairing feeling of struggling as a caregiver. No one knew what to say to me. I didn't understand, and others didn't understand me. For decades, I foraged along and tried to find my path through this medical nightmare that Gracie and I have endured for nearly 40 years. And I've learned to speak the language of caregivers. I speak fluent caregiver. No pastor, no counselor, no medical provider, no friend should ever throw their hands up and say, I don't know what to say to that caregiver. Because I do. Give them a copy of this book. It's called A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. They're easy to read, 1-minute chapters that speak directly to the heart of a caregiver, and you can get them wherever books are sold. A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. Friends, don't let friends caregive alone. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. We're glad that you're with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. That track is from my friend Rob Galbraith. I've known Rob for over 30 years. I'm back in Nashville. Big time producer and songwriter and publisher. Wonderful friend and caregiving dad. And I've had him on my program before when we were doing it out of Nashville, and just an amazing story. And Rob's got one of the best senses of humor you've ever encountered. I tell him often that he gets a lot of my material. He's always making fun of me, too, because I'll tell him a joke. He said, Peter, you trying out your material on me? Am I your guinea pig? So, yes, you are, Rob. He lets me use some of his music and was a really strong mentor to me musically. We used to be in choir together at church, and he was very gracious to me. He would say things like, well, you're a real legit player, Peter, you know, kind of thing. And because I could read music and things such as that, but he could flat out play a keyboard, still can. And it just, you know, singer, guitar player, I mean, just an amazing talent. And I would stand in awe just watching him do things the way he would just feel a groove and everything else. And I've told y'all often, I'm Indiana Peter in the tempo of doom. But Rob's just that old school Nashville music and just knows how to bring it. So thanks, Rob, for letting me use some of your stuff here. And by the way, I hope y'all enjoyed a snippet of my interview with Mary Tutterow. Please go out to the podcast. It's a free podcast. And depending on how you listen to podcasts, like if you're on Apple or Amazon or whatever, you should be able to see the video that I put up there. If not, then, like, if you're on Spotify, I don't think Spotify plays videos, so just kind of be aware of that. But it's free. Whatever podcasting platform you use, you can access this at Hope for the Caregiver. It's hopeforthecaregiver.com, and you'll see the podcast there. Follow along or just search for Hope for the Caregiver under podcast, whatever you use. And I hope you'll share it with others who you think might benefit from. We've got almost 700 episodes out there now. So please take advantage of that. Hope for the Caregiver, the podcast, the website, the Facebook page, all the things I do out there. I was reading in a magazine the other day, and it had a whole bunch of annoying phrases that permeate our culture's conversation. Annoying phrases. You know, like, I'm sorry if I offended you, which is one of my top ones that I just hate. Because you're not apologizing for anything. I'm sorry if I offended you. You know, I hate that one. At the end of the day, you know, those were some of the phrases they included. And I was looking down the list, and one of them that was buried in there caught my attention. And let's see if it has the same effect on you. Listen to this. Let me be brutally honest. Now, most at the receiving end of that phrase can affirm that what follows leans more towards brutal rather than honest, wouldn't you say? It's like a fighter, you know, you ever see those with boxers or somebody in a fight, and they kind of position the guy's chin just to get that right position, and then they're going to follow it with a haymaker. It's a setup. Let me be brutally honest. People who lead with that phrase, they're not looking for consent. Let me. They're using the word let me. Like, okay, if I say no, are you going to keep talking? Are you going to stop? No, they're not going to stop. Let me be. They're not asking for permission. They're going to just charge right on ahead. And while honesty requires discretion, it does not need permission. Let me be brutally honest. Well, you don't need my permission to be honest. Discretion would be helpful when we're talking with people, but you don't need permission to be honest. And who is going to give consent to brutal treatment? Let me be brutally honest. No, I don't want you to be brutally honest. You know, and you shouldn't lead with that. That's a terrible way to do that. And as bad as that is, hearing that from others, I got to ask you, how many of us talk to ourselves that way? I have. I mean, I've berated myself. We're not doing it with the intent to reform. We're doing it to rebuke ourselves. We're just, it's that harshness. I mean, surely I'm not alone in that. It's important to have candid conversations, even with ourselves, candid conversations that they can offer clarity of circumstances without the beating up and the berating. Despite my mistakes, here's what's working and here's what can improve kind of thing. Okay? That's a frank conversation. That's just looking at it honestly. Here's where I messed up. Here's what I can do to fix this, to make amends, to go from here. Constructive words and a softer tone with others and ourselves. It's not going to absolve the failures or the missteps, but that's not the purpose of it. It can promote a more honest evaluation, however, without the brutality. And we just don't need that in our life. We've got enough brutal. So when somebody comes up to you and say, let me be brutally honest, they're not really going to be honest. They're just going to be brutal. There's a great cartoonist up in Canada, Richard Needham, and he said, the person who is brutally honest enjoys the brutality quite as much as the honesty, possibly more. And I would concur with that statement. If somebody's going to be honest with you, then they're going to give you an honest assessment. And that's including the good stuff too. That's including the successes. Those who want to come up with that phrase are just looking to bludgeon somebody. And you don't have to be the recipient of that bludgeoning. And neither do I. And we don't have to do it to ourselves either. I'm not about to excuse my failures at all. They don't deserve excuse. But what they do deserve is an honest assessment. Okay, why am I here? Why did I do this? Why did this happen? How did this? You know, I had a situation. Let me give you an example. Gracie, she had a bacterial infection, a respiratory stuff, and they treated her with a sulfa drug, like Bactrin or something like that, to kind of burn it out of her. Well, she's also on Coumadin. She takes for blood thinners because she threw some blood clots many years ago and she's had so many different transfusions, she's developed a coagulation issue. And so anytime you put her on any kind of sulfa drug, it's going to cause her PTINR to jump up, her clotting factor in her blood. And it jumped up so high, it was dangerous. We're down in the emergency room and I completely forgot about it. She did too, and quite frankly, so did the doctors. I mean, there's so many things going on with her that sometimes something can get overlooked. It was just a mistake. We got it under control. We fixed it and made a note to not do this again. But does anybody want somebody to come to me, Gracie, or even the doctor and say, let me be brutally honest? No, we just look at it for what it is and say, okay, it was a mistake. How do we learn from this? What can we do to make sure this doesn't happen again? That's the kind of thing I'm looking for out of myself and in the relationships I have with people. I don't mind being called on the carpet for stuff when I make a mistake, but it's always with the intent of how do we shore this up, not how do we beat you up. And I go back to scripture with this because Proverbs has actually a lot to say about this particular topic of, you know, speaking kinder words to each other and being in a place where we're not just beating people down. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Our bodies could use a little bit of extra health, couldn't they? Proverbs 15:26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Proverbs 25:11, like golden apples set in silver is a word spoken at the right time. Proverbs 15:23. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. And I love this verse in Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I don't want to provoke anyone to despair, and I don't want to be provoked to despair. I don't want to provoke myself to despair. I'd like to provoke myself unto love and to good works. And that comes from having an honest, frank, candid discussion, but not a brutal one, okay? Let me be brutally honest. No, I don't want to let you be brutally honest. And I don't want me to be brutally honest. We can be honest without the brutality. We can do this. And of course, none of this is to in any way excuse infractions, mistakes, bad things that we've done, anything like that. It is an opportunity to honestly assess it for what it is, and then ask for the grace and strength and courage to make amends where we can, to ask for forgiveness where we need to, and to trust God with redeeming these things. All of this plays into our walk as calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, more joyful people, as caregivers, as human beings. So when somebody comes up to you the next time they do and they say, let me be brutally honest, I don't care what the circumstances are, don't you think it might be helpful, healthier, to take a step back from somebody like that? And if you're doing it to yourself, don't you think it might be helpful, healthier, to maybe take a step back from talking to yourself this way? And go back to Scripture to see what God has to say about it. Let's not trust our assessment. Let's trust His. And as He guides us, we'll see it with more clarity and have better direction on what to do with it, whether we need to repent. I mean, remember back in 2 Samuel when David was confronted by Nathan the prophet after all the stuff with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. And Nathan said, thou art the man. He didn't say, let me be brutally honest. He said, thou art the man. The truth was enough to convict without Nathan having to take any kind of pleasure of delivering it, without Nathan putting himself in any other position than to be obedient to God and what the Holy Spirit was leading him to do, to say to this king, thou art the man. Truth can be harsh. We don't need to embellish it with our own harshness. And even in those moments where truth is harsh, God's grace abounds more. And that is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next time. You've heard me talk about Standing with Hope over the years. This is the prosthetic limb ministry that Gracie envisioned after losing both of her legs. Part of that outreach is our prosthetic limb recycling program. Did you know that prosthetic limbs can be recycled? No kidding. There is a correctional facility in Arizona that helps us recycle prosthetic limbs. And this facility is run by a group out of Nashville called Core Civic. And we met them over 11 years ago. And they stepped in to help us with this recycling program of taking prostheses and you disassemble them. You take the knee, the foot, the pylon, the tube clamps, the adapters, the screws, the liners, the prosthetic socks, all these things we can reuse, and inmates help us do it. Before Core Civic came along, I was sitting on the floor at our house or out in the garage when we lived in Nashville, and I had tools everywhere, limbs everywhere, and feet, boxes of them, and so forth. And I was doing all this myself, and I'd make the kids help me. And it got to be too much for me. And so I was very grateful that Core Civic stepped up and said, look, we are always looking for faith-based programs that are interesting and that give inmates a sense of satisfaction. And we'd love to be a part of this. And that's what they're doing. And you can see more about that at standingwithhope.com/recycle. So please help us get the word out that we do recycle prosthetic limbs. We do arms as well, but the majority of amputations are lower limb. And that's where the focus of Standing with Hope is. And that's where Gracie's life is with her lower limb prostheses. And she's used some of her own limbs in this outreach that she's recycled. I mean, she's been an amputee for over 30 years. So you go through a lot of legs and parts and other types of materials, and you can reuse prosthetic socks and liners if they're in good shape. All of this helps give the gift that keeps on walking, and it goes to this prison in Arizona where it's such an extraordinary ministry. Think about that. Inmates volunteering for this. They want to do it, and they've had amazing times with it, and I've had very moving conversation with the inmates that work in this program. And you can see, again, all of that at standingwithhope.com/recycle. They're putting together a big shipment right now for us to ship over. We do this pretty regularly throughout the year as inventory rises, and they need it badly in Ghana. So please go out to standingwithhope.com/recycle and get the word out and help us do more. If you want to offset some of the shipping, you can always go to the giving page and be a part of what we're doing there. We're purchasing material in Ghana that they have to use that can't be recycled. We're shipping over stuff that can be, and we're doing all of this to lift others up and to point them to Christ. And that's the whole purpose of everything that we do, and that is why Gracie and I continue to be Standing with Hope. StandingWithHope.com. Take my hand.